Junction, Junction, what's your function?
That's the theme song for Trailer Dump. I feel like I'm here under, I was deceived to be on the show. I did not know we were doing
Trailer Absolutely Dump. Not.
No?
No, this is... This consider this part of our San Diego Comic-Con coverage.
All yeah. right.
Because this is Trailer Dump San Diego Comic-Con edition, where we're going to cover all the trailers that we were interested in that came out during San Diego Comic-Con.
I guess. Sure. Let's do this. All right. What are the trailers? What are these wonderful comic book-related trailers?
Well, let's see. The first one that we saw was for The Witcher, the new series on Netflix.
Yeah, is that that's based on a video game?
Which is based on a book. Yes.
Oh, okay.
If you look at it, if you look at it, it's based on the video game. If you watch it, it's based on the books, apparently.
I really don't like how they really skirt past the video game in this trailer. It's like based on the book series. Like the only reason you're making this Netflix series is because the game series has gotten so popular and done so well.
Oh.
Do not sit there and like try and hide
Chip
that or thing.
On the shoulder.
Exactly. I feel like that's kind of, you know, that's cruddy.
Yeah.
Happened a lot, though, I feel like there's a lot more push for their, like, oh, well, like, this was a video game, so obviously we should, let's turn it into something.
The Harry Potter movies that were based on Wizards United.
Oh, God. No, I'm serious.
Well, I guess. Yeah. No, I get it. I see why gamers would have a problem with this. Yeah. Has anyone read the books?
No.
No one has read the books.
Has anyone read a book here?
Yes.
I have read a book.
We had a book club.
Yeah, but I mostly listened to it. Anyways, actually, it's not true. I actually read it. James is the jerk who listened to it.
Hop on Pop is fabulous.
Fair. Anyway.
Just remember that was a Dr. Seuss book and not a blue thing. Anyways, yeah, what do you want to say,
this is
guy?
Cappy? Anyway, this is my problem with many trailers like this.
Yeah, keep going. We're not conning anything out anymore.
My problem with this trailer, it is very inaccurate because a horse is not standing on anybody's head.
Okay, yeah.
Is that a major part of the book or game?
It's a very big part in the game because it lags a lot.
But in all honesty, I'm really tired of, especially for TV shows, these trailers that just don't show me a lot of things but don't tell me anything.
Mm,
and I'm like, what is this about again?
It's not about a horse on your head. I think Michelle's point wins. Go.
Thanks.
We're winning things now. I just decided that on the
right.
Yeah, all right.
No, you have no idea what this movie series
it was
is
so
about
generic,
based
I didn't,
off of
I didn't
it.
Even
yeah, exactly.
Like, they said he kills witches, that's about it.
Hunky man with swords and blonde,
like,
long hair.
I do like seeing a Man of Steel and it's not that guy. I don't remember his name.
I'm upset that now Henry Cavill can shave his mustache, apparently.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, moving on. The Picard trailer, another TV series.
That was really good.
Which is now apparently on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, at least the trailer we saw said it was.
So the five people that have CBS All Access aren't the only ones who get to watch this.
Yeah,
I guess they can cancel their accounts now at this point.
Yeah.
I like it, but when Seven of Nine shows up, and I'm sort of like, I mean, you're a fine character.
Spoilers for trailers? Probably not.
No.
Go. Yeah, you're a fine character. What were you saying?
Yeah, fine character. Really like Seven of Nine. Cool. Why are you in a Picard show? Like for?
Oh, I love it. So I was thinking, why a Picard show at all? Right? I mean, not that. I mean, I love Picard. I love whatever. You know, I'm on board, but I'm curious as to why.
Yeah.
Right.
They've got a lot in common. They're both former Borg.
That's it. That's I think the major. So the show brings up Data and the fact that Data sacrificed himself in the last kind of movie and et cetera, and his, you know, Picard's dealing with his place in the world and what have you. And it wasn't until the very end, I'm thinking this is all replicant, this is Blade Runner, the Star Trek version. But when it gets the Borg cube reveal, I'm like, oh, wow. There's a huge part of his background that is explored often, but never as its own series. And it would be his time as Borg. And Seven of Nine is a perfect person to tie in all that. I'm 100% on board after the trailer.
Agreed.
No, yeah, I like that he's in command of a kind of a rogue ragtag group of misfits that he gets to, you know, be the captain of. That's
I'm
cool.
Like 30% sure he's just in command of a winery, but yeah. I'm also okay with Picard, the drinking years.
Yes, I am very disappointed that there wasn't as much flute playing as I was hoping for.
Aww.
Yes,
but moving on. Apparently, they're making another Top Gun movie.
I don't know why.
Called Maverick.
I like actually what you said, Pete, during pre-production. that this was a shot-by-shot remake.
Of the Star Wars trailer?
Yeah.
A lot of people are claiming that, mostly because of the low-flying aircraft in the desert.
And the fact that Daisy Ridley does jump over that ship.
Yes.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I can't read, and I thought it was a Top Gear.
Yeah, Top Gear.
And that's why I'm like, okay, yeah, Daisy Ridley, jump over the aircraft. That makes sense. And then Jeremy Renner shows up, and everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Jeremy Clarkson.
I can't remember everybody. Also, it's fine. I was close.
Close enough. None of these names are accurate enough. Nobody wants to be name dropped on the show.
It just feels like a shill a little bit, though, towards a few, like towards the older technophobic crowd, because it's, you know, it feels like they're trying to vie him against drones or something, and it's just like,
I hope that's cool.
Hey, man, are you getting a little old to be a pilot?
We're not done yet.
Man, if that's what the movie is about, I'm so on board. The whole John Henry thing.
I was going to say.
Like, no. Yeah. We could do it better than the drones. You can't bring the drones in to take our jobs.
Yeah, the drones are taking our jobs.
They took our jobs! Thank you, South Park.
That's the only thing we're thanking South Park for on this show.
Yeah. So one job you can never give to a robot
is
Harley Quinn.
Oh, all right.
A robot can never be Harley Quinn.
Could have sworn we were going to segue into Westworld, but no, better.
No, later.
Harley Quinn. What is that? Harley
Quinn's animated series.
Is it just Harley Quinn?
On DCU, it's Harley Quinn.
I
felt like I was watching a cartoon from when I was younger, but like geared at adults because of obviously all the cursing and the killing and the sex stuff. Yeah.
There's so much slapstick.
There wasn't any sex stuff in there, was there?
Sexy stuff.
There
was like a almost moment between... Ivy and
and Harley. That was more romantic than I would say sexy.
Oh, shut up, Al. But yes, I agree. I don't know about this. I can't unpack it. Like, it's kind of like the DC animated universe stuff, but like more
adult.
Adult, but and that usually fails for me, but I like the music in the trailer.
Oh god, the punk rendition of the Mary Tyler Moore Show theme.
I really do like that, and I kind of like most of the jokes. I saw the deadpan, I think Joker shot somebody deadpan, and that's funny.
Yeah.
It's just funny to kill a person without laughing if you're a clown. We all know that.
I don't know.
Looks like we've got some ridiculousness with Aquaman.
Yeah.
She punched him in the throat.
Which looks fun. Yeah, there's that. And then him high-fiving a dolphin for no reason.
Diedrich Bader is Batman, I believe.
Is he?
I think so. I think I paused on his name in the credits, and it kind of sounded like his version of Batman, which I think is an interesting choice.
I actually really like a lot of this, as far as the trailer goes. And I like the large amount and huge swathing of characters that we have. I like that whenever Harley punched the Joker. That was great. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's fan service now. Harley punching the Joker, which I'm on board for.
Yeah. Get out of that abusive relationship.
Sure.
Okay. Anybody else got comments on Harley Quinn?
No, I don't know. Like, I'm gonna have to get DCU now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to get these new shows. What's going on?
I'm liking Kaley Cuoco as Harley.
Yeah, me too, actually. Yeah. Really like her voice in that.
I have got a chip on my shoulder about her. I think it's about personal things she may have said, and or because of that show that was somewhat popular that had something to do with Big Bangs and theories. I can't recall the name. And I was just like, you know what? That's not geek.
Damn it, now I can't remember the name of the show she was on before that. Oh, well.
8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter?
No, there's another one.
God,
nobody watched that.
What?
I thought she was on According to Jim. That was someone else.
What is happening? Stop referencing these shows. No one has... What? Who do you think the audience of this show is?
Remember when David Spade was on a show?
No. Okay. Let's move on. Let's move on to the trailer for
They're
the
rebooting
new...
Duck Soup. Sorry, no.
Which Duck Soup?
It doesn't matter. Go. Just messed up. No. Okay. You don't get to anytime so it says duck.
So they're making a new series, I believe on HBO, of the Atheist Chronicles of Narnia, a.k.a. His Dark Materials.
Oh, was it Atheist? Is that what it is?
Yes, it's confirmed that it was
so
Atheist.
So that did not work well on us, did it? Because we were like, what religion was this espousing?
Like,
none.
This is the religion of... This is some religion's Chronicles of Narnia. Which one?
Which was not correct.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
It's very anti-Catholic.
It was just like watching that trailer. Because I work on movie sets, it's just like I started going, oh, hey, those are the lights they were using there. And that's when I know, like, the trailer has failed me.
Oh, really? It broke the wall. I remember seeing the original movie that was supposed to like be the next Harry Potter when they were trying to make everything the next Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And I can't remember any of what happened. I remember armored bears and people had avatars and there were like a compass. There was a golden compass.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the title of the movie.
Oh, well, then
that
maybe
was the first book trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah, the and then Daniel Craig was in it. Who I actually thought was Craig Daniels in pre-production, and I actually called him Craig Ferguson. Yeah. So Craig Ferguson has 007. We're breaking news now. Craig Ferguson is 007. Take that, Idris Elba. What do you want to say, Al?
I was going to say, everything you just said about remember the movies, what I remember about the show, I remember Armored Bear. Everything and compass, and I was like, all right. And that was kind of about the extent of what I took away from the trailer was, oh, bear and armor. That's cool.
I love the aesthetic of the trailer. I'm just, I don't know. I feel
like, yeah. Like World War I Germany almost. Like
I think it is that era.
Yeah, okay. It's hard from to place because of the magic in it, yeah, as well. But like, I do love the aesthetic. I like the dress. I like the set design. I got no plot from that entire trailer.
Yeah.
But I really like the look of it, and it's an HBO prestige show, so okay.
And
cool.
If you've got zeppelins and armored polar bears fighting,
yeah, I'm in. I mean, what do you want?
From what I saw in the trailer, though, it felt like, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda seems like the nice guy, but is the bad guy who tricks you.
Maybe I think you just don't
Lin-Manuel
trust him.
Miranda is the nice guy, though.
He is the nice guy.
Okay,
yeah,
but yeah, I think
no, the mean guy is the guy in the beginning of the trailer who McAvoy.
Okay,
and then the
McAvoy
and the lady.
Yeah. And the lady. McAvoy and the lady.
McAvoy and
coming
the lady.
Soon on CBS. Gotta get the CBS All Access app.
The whole kind of underlying tone of it isn't really... Like, there's been a lot of criticism towards the book that it shouldn't be in schools because it's anti-religion, it's an atheist idea, and it really isn't. It has more to do with that children shouldn't be raised under their parents' spiritual or intellectual or religious ideals, and that children should be able to form their own. And I can kind of see that in the trailer a bit with the girl yelling, like, you know, how can I trust you if you lie to me or you're not telling me the truth? Which,
I feel like
a bit argumentative. I feel
that could be a little heavy handed, but I could also see it being good. So who knows? HBO, wow us. With a better trailer next time.
Okay.
Maybe.
I think this will get people a little bit more excited. How about The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance?
What? Yeah. I cannot believe this is happening. I live in a world where this is possible.
I remember they teased this, I feel like, years ago, that they were going to do something, and then it fell off, and then now it's back. I didn't even realize, so I'm really pumped about this.
Yeah, I love the original movie. I absolutely love it. I was really upset. Is this, like, does everything go bad again?
No. Even though everything looks bad in this trailer, it's because it's a prequel.
Oh, that's a lot more.
I know prequel is a loaded word.
It is a little bit. It does concern me to a certain extent.
Oh God, Al!
But this actually has the Henson room. Name attached to it.
It does.
Hensons are working on this, so we should be okay.
No, I love all the practical effects. There's a scene in the trailer where you see a puppet riding another puppet over the green screen, and then they remove the green screen and show what the final product is. And I'm like, that's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Absolutely gorgeous. I cannot wait for this.
You literally saw the sleight of hand, and you still fell for the trick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the really nice thing about this is it does really seem to be trying to carry on the spirit of Jim Henson's work with the technology that's available today.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you almost... I mean, it's good enough to make you wonder what could have happened if he was still around to do it himself.
Yeah, I mean, he had so many great projects that he both finished and were left incomplete that just, you know, oh, wow.
Jim Henson's Tony Clifton would have been amazing. Next.
Westworld 3, season 3.
Jim Henson's Tony Clifton.
That was awe-inspiring. Like, just how beautiful that trailer was. Like,
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I say, I'm going to be the dissenting opinion here.
Again? Great.
You think it's ugly?
No, I don't think it's ugly. I'm just like, am I the weird person that kind of thought, like, didn't we have enough meat to chew on with the original idea? Why are we going so far off the ranch?
Which original idea are you
talking
about?
I feel like we had enough. We had enough to do a show, multiple seasons worth, with just, you know, hanging around with the Westworld.
Oh.
And like, and kind of exploring those concepts and ideas. And like, I feel like, it's not that we moved too fast. It's just like there was a lot to go on there, and I'm kind of sad we've expanded so far out And we're in this robot rebellion phase at this point. I'm just kind of like...
I think that was always the plot of right. even the original Westworld. No.
Right, I know, but like, I don't know, I feel like there was just... I feel like there was just so much more to go on
yeah.
that we could still explore with just with what was just there and with how contained it was. And yes, it's great and it's visually appealing and it's awesome that it's so much bigger, but I don't know. I just feel like you still had so much more to work with.
I'm not getting where we're not following up on that.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's not that we're not... All right.
Is it just not being in the West?
It's just Yul Brynner wouldn't recognize this as Westworld.
Is that what your... Is that stupid argument your stupid argument? Or is that his stupid argument?
No, I'm saying is that, like, cool, I'm glad we're doing Robot Rebellion and stuff like that. That's fine. But I felt like we had enough to chew on with the morality plays and the simple character interactions that we had in season one that we didn't really need to expand past that too much. And I don't know. I guess I just felt like we... had enough to do there.
No, I think there needs to be consequences to all of that.
Yeah, I mean, they're literally exploring the morality of the two opposing robots, and they're already giving us a new world that we're going to be able to see of the, you know, the, was it eight theme parks that they had? And, you know, like, literally, I feel like exactly what you described is still going
on.
Yeah,
I would agree.
Not in the Westworld park.
Okay.
You just want to see Wild West stuff. I want more horses, just admit it. Yeah,
I want to see Tomorrowland.
And honestly, I love that it's Blade Runner the series. I really feel like in many ways this is like...
Shouldn't that be Blade Runner the series, though?
Is there a Blade Runner the series?
No, but if you want to make Blade Runner the series, make Blade Runner the series. Don't make a series out of Westworld.
Not necessarily. Yeah. So here's my argument for it. I think Westworld was a lot more goofy, the original movie,
mm-hmm.
right? So revisiting it and saying, let's do it a little different, is fun. If you were to try to recapture the magic of Blade Runner, you get Blade Runner 2025 or whatever it was, which I honestly I have not seen it. It may be good, it may be bad.
I heard great things.
But if you're doing it like if you're using the same property, you got to be perfect, tone perfect, or else it's just sort of like, oh, the movie did it better. There's no situation where unless you're saying goofy fun, there's no scenario where I'm like the Westworld movie did it better because it didn't try to be serious. Does that make sense?
So you're saying if you want to make a Tron series, a serious Tron series, you should do Logan's Run.
Maybe do like a live action version of Reboot.
You know,
oh, they did that. Actually, what Frank just described is exactly what happened with Reboot.
The live action version.
The live action version of Reboot was really just kind of a sequel series to or a. readaptation of a completely different series that they just branded as Reboot.
When did this happen?
Like a couple years ago.
I don't remember
anything. This happened. Like they were basically, okay, I don't have time to explain all of this, but I'll just say exactly what you just described did happen to Reboot.
Good, and it was wildly successful.
It was, actually, in Canada.
What is happening? What was about, according to Jim? Let's bring that up again. Yes.
Okay, you know what? We've lost a little bit of focus here. How about we talk about, apparently they're doing a Steven Universe movie? Now, does that have to be Adventure Time? Or
what? That can be its own thing.
If you want to do a Steven Universe movie, you can actually do a Steven Universe movie?
Yeah.
You can.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be tone perfect?
I think it is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's in line with the plot of the entire series.
I see what you were doing, smartass. It didn't work. Yeah. Let's linger in this not working.
It worked okay.
No, it didn't work. We're going to linger in it. Everyone listening to this, wait.
The Adventures of Godzilla and Godzuki, the movie.
Oh,
wait for it.
Anyway.
And you do that as a Pacific Rim movie, and you put money in the bank.
Anyway.
All right, anyways, yeah, Steven Universe. Sorry.
I think it looks pretty good. I enjoy the fact that we have a cartoon character who ages.
Yeah.
Which is not something we see in Simpsons.
That's what makes it good.
I know. I agree. I like it too.
Okay, just, good.
So we see Steven. Yes.
Steven Universe in later seasons. Is he gradually aging a bit?
No, he's not actually. Is he?
Yes. Okay. Interesting.
However, this is the biggest... change Leap. That you see, so he's significantly taller.
Oh, cool. With the exception of that one episode where he accidentally aged and de-aged.
Well, yes,
himself.
That was purposeful, though.
And that was trying for him.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, like, when you look, if you were to compare an episode from season one and compare it to season like five, you can see that there's. You know, he starts to like hit
That's
puberty
really cute.
Because I mean, he's like
he looks like a person now, and he used to look like a meatball at the beginning of the series.
And like there was even like in the more recent season, there's like he like didn't sleep and he had like scruff around his face. And I'm like, oh, Steven's growing up. This is so cute.
I do like that Connie kisses his cheek in this, and that was really adorable. And that was nice. I do like that also we get a lot of the, hey, we dismantled the Empire, everything's awesome, and like, and then immediately something terrible happens.
Him screaming that he wants his happily ever after, I'm like, I know that feel.
Yeah.
I know that feel very well.
Yeah, I definitely feel like we're getting everything the show has delivered to us, like, just expanded properly as, like, you know, with feature money, like, with movie money.
Yeah.
Like, the animation looks insane. The soundtrack was awesome.
The list of people in the soundtrack seemed really good.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a movie theater movie, or is this
Cartoon Network? So, it's on September 2nd. It's actually Labor Day. Watch it, please. I'm going to. So.
My big hope for this film is to tackle, like, one of the issues that kind of got glossed over in the series when we have this big, giant empire that's ostensibly evil. Like, maybe not, like, completely evil or not meaning to be evil, but is ostensibly evil. And we get this unfortunate, or very fortunate, actually, resolution where we kind of hug it out. And part of me is like, can we please have a pacifist face a challenge that he can't hug out? Like, I understand that that's kind of how, like, you want to solve it, ideally. And Avatar The Last Airbender, excuse me, kind of snuck a win in there, but, like, had to do, like, Deus Ex Machina to do it. And I want to see what the answer is to that. I want to see what the problem solving is for that. If your pacifist hero who doesn't want to just solve a thing with violence, who doesn't want to solve it by genuinely just defeating the enemy, how do they solve the problem if the enemy is not going to be able to be hugged out?
He solves it with love, Al.
But what if the answer isn't love? Like, I mean, I don't want him to win with violence. I don't want him to do that either.
Up to date with all the episodes?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
Yeah, but I just feel like I want there to be an answer that isn't just we hug this out.
I think we're getting way too close to spoilery territory.
I'll tell you right now.
Garnet doesn't hug it out.
I mean, that's fair.
So, because Garnet beats you up. So, because we see that in, like, season 2.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Pow, pow.
When they figure out a way to solve that, they'll put a movie. But there ain't no way to solve it without violence.
I guess. I'm very interested. I've been looking for that that answer because we have so many pacifist heroes that wind up getting the Avatar treatment of just, oh, we're just going to Deus Ex Machina an answer into here so that they don't have to resort to this. But it's not a satisfying answer.
Yeah.
And I felt Steven Universe was finally going to give me that, like, really good.
I think they lose what happens. And that's the same thing as if you are pro-violence and you are not more successful at violence than your adversary, who only, like, the point of pacifism is that you don't need violence to resolve this. So hugging it out is the resolution. They can, like, in reality, there's a prolonged versions of hugging it out, peaceful overtures, trying to find a way of meeting in between the part. That is what narratively is accomplished by hugging it out.
Yeah, demilitarized zones are essentially hug zones.
Yeah, effectively.
Good to know.
Okay, let's move along to something slightly less violent. Not at San Diego Comic-Con, but the Mulan trailer.
Looked amazing.
No war in Mulan, right?
Oh, huh? God. I was blown away by that one.
Yeah. It looked good. It didn't look like Mulan to me. I can't believe they cast a black actor as Mulan. That was just offensive to me as a dragon.
As a dragon.
I would say that probably a lot of people familiar with the original story said it looked a lot more like Mulan.
Well, yeah, so this is where
movie.
We tend to split hairs. Like, so we talk about the Disney Mulan. So it doesn't look a hell of a lot like the Disney Mulan to me. But it looks like a much better version of that classic story, Mulan.
Yeah. Well, you have to understand, the movie that's coming out now, Disney's Mulan, is not meant to be Walt Disney's Mulan. It's the real Mulan.
The Mulan, the real life person from like 900 BC.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? Is this unlike all the other reboots that Disney's doing?
No, honestly, I don't know.
Yeah,
I heard there's no music in this one. Like, there's no...
Oh, yeah. So it may actually literally be... That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Remind me, because I blocked it out completely, for those of us who saw the Disney remake of The Jungle Book, the Jon Favreau one. Was there singing in that movie?
No. There was a soundtrack, but there was no...
There was no singing parts in that?
Blue whistles, and that's kind of about it.
Yeah, and I think maybe... I could have sworn that, oh my God, wonderful actor, who the guy who plays Louis in the Jon Favreau version.
Oh man, God.
Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken, yeah. I believe, did sing in that, but I might be totally misremembering it.
I think you are.
Yeah, I think you're right. Just reskinning the Weapon of Choice music video.
Probably. Makes sense.
Fatboy Slim.
Yeah. Makes sense. All right. Interesting. But yeah, it looks good. I'm surprised how different it looked.
Yeah. Also, we've had the Maleficent trailer come out recently.
Yeah, heavy sigh is exactly how I felt about that trailer.
Maleficent 2.
I have so many questions.
Wait, Michelle, what are your questions?
Oh. What is this?
And why? Really, my easiest explanation is, like, if anybody's ever seen Highlander, but then also seen Highlander 2, The Quickening,
it makes about that much sense
as a movie. That trailer makes no sense as compared to a lot of the first movie.
No, the first one doesn't make that much sense in context either, really. But in comparison to, like, first off, like...
No, I'm gonna back Pope up on this one, because this is a thing where you watch the trailer, and you say, how is this a trailer to the other movie? How does this have anything to do with the other movie?
Exactly.
I don't know. I didn't like Maleficent that much.
Yeah, it's not a commentary on the quality of either movie.
No. Yeah, it's just that the trailers don't quite... I didn't like it, but to answer your question, Michelle, in Maleficent is the protagonist, and although she does attempt to kill... Aurora, several times, she learns to love her instead. This really feels like I've ruined the movie.
It's like reverse, and also she's the true love
instead of what's his name,
the prince.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. He's just the prince.
Yeah. So yeah, there's an element of redemption for Maleficent in this story.
Yeah, I know it was like a redemption arc.
And her father's kind of the villain, but also yes, he is.
And they carry it over into this movie where Maleficent is apparently still mom to Aurora.
Like, is there a cave full of winged, like, bird creature men?
Nope. That was a surprise for all of us.
She's like a fairy.
How do I get invited there?
Yeah, everybody was ripped.
Question
like
on everybody's lips.
She's like a fairy, right?
She is a fairy.
Yeah.
In both all the versions of the Maleficent story. My nieces loved it, and it was one of those movies where I kept explaining things to the point where they hated me. So...
Don't go see a movie with Frank.
I wasn't even in the movie theater. I was afterwards. I was like, you know what my problems are? Here. And I think it actually is shown in this one as well, in the Maleficent, the 2 Electric Boogaloo. She seems, like, for a protagonist, she is really horrible to people. And I'm not sure if I agree with that. This is weird for me because this is the first time I've been in a group of people who actually dislike the movie. I've always had to take the opposite argument.
But yeah, no, I thought it was garbage.
It's also 20 years ago. How is this movie?
5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel so old. This has been a hell of a couple of years, hasn't it?
It has.
America, you listening to this? God, it's been rough.
We've made some bad choices.
Maleficent 2. What's wrong with us as people?
And somehow that's not the worst decision we've made in the last 5 years.
All right, legit.
Which will be up on our next podcast.
Yeah, I kind of liked Maleficent, but I also kind of disliked it. Okay. Anyways, is that it? Is that all the damn things? Did we watch everything?
Well, we did also watch the trailer for A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Hey.
Starring Tom Hanks as Fred Rogers.
Fred Rogers?
That statement right there is the movie, that it's Tom Hanks as Fred Rogers.
Yeah,
it's felt a little odd. Unlike when I was watching the movie he was...
Saving Mr. Banks?
Saving Mr. Banks, yeah, where he was playing Walt Disney. I watched that movie, and, like, Tom Hanks is Walt Disney. It blended seamlessly for me.
Yeah, he did an amazing job with Walt Disney.
I think it helped that he wasn't the main thrust of the movie.
Mm. Yeah, so we're looking at a trailer here, and when you're not in the theater or you're not watching the entire movie, it's hard to, like... buy in.
Yeah.
So I did have a little bit of a problem buying in Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers, but in the trailer for Mr. Banks, he's barely in it because it's not focused on him.
But I also will say something else about it. Like, maybe the scene that they chose was probably the poorest scene to have us open in on, because it's such an iconic moment, and you can kind of tell Hanks is acting as Rogers in that moment. And it's like, that's a tough sell. If you would... maybe come in another way and we had gotten his mannerisms used to it and then we got to that scene, we might have been able to pull it off. But that's a rough thing to start off on.
Of course, then again, that could have been a decision, because if you know that he doesn't quite nail that scene...
Yeah.
Like, if you slowly get used to him as Mr. Rogers and then do that scene where he just nails it, that's a huge sell.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't... nail it, which I don't think he's going to do.
No.
He didn't from this.
Yeah.
If you want to make a Mr. Rogers movie, you got to make a Captain Kangaroo movie. I don't know. I'm trying to pull in the narrative from before.
All yeah, let's not.
Are we done? Is this it? Is this everything that came out of San Diego Comic-Con?
Yeah. And then some. A few that didn't come out of Comic-Con. So
you bastard. You pulled me in. Hey, how much do I have to pay to our Patreon to never have to do this?
$1 million. If we get 1 million people to pledge $1 million each,
yeah,
we will stop doing trailer dumps.
Is there like...
Is it $1 million, $1 million. I don't even know how to math dollars. That. Is it? I feel Wait. Like it's more than a trillion. All those zeros?
Yeah. Because a thousand no, a billion.
You got to use multiplication, so.
Yeah. Mm.
Then it's money.
It's money in the bank.
Patreon.com/nonpro. Please prevent us from making any more of these.
Yeah. Only real contributions, please.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.
Thank you.